The gospel lesson is from Matthew chapter 16, verses 13 through 20. Now when Jesus came to the area of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, "Who do people say the human one is?" They replied, "Some say John the Baptist, others Elijah, and still others Jeremiah or one of the other prophets." He said, "And what about you? Who do you say that I am?" Simon Peter said, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Then Jesus replied, "Happy are you, Simon, son of Jonah, because no human has shown this to you. Rather, my Father who is in heaven has shown you. I tell you that you are Peter, and I'll build my church on this rock. The gates of the underworld won't be able to stand against it. I'll give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Anything you fasten on earth will be fastened in heaven. Anything you loosen on earth will be loosened in heaven." Then he ordered the disciples not to tell anybody that he was the Christ. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Okay, just if you'd like to go ahead and post those answers would be fine. And I'm going to read those through quickly today. And I just want to open up by saying here again, this is a gigantic subject. And for us to even consider and think that we could explain Jesus, the Word of God says at the end of the Gospel of John that if we recorded these things as such, it would probably, the world could not contain all of the novels and the books about what Jesus has done. So Christianity differs, number one, part one. Christianity differs from all other religions, and that's plural, because it is more than a religion. It is the life of the Son of God. If I go too fast or if you can't fill it in, we'll make sure and get these to you. Of course, I want you to know all this is for your own personal study and conversation. The Son of God made living in humanity and man. Number two, Christ is Christianity. And here's the flop, that Christianity is Christ. Jesus is the supreme subject of each book of the New Testament. And Jesus fulfills the promises of God in the Old Testament, OT if you want to shorten it, of His incarnation. And of course, that is the Spirit indwelling and humanity. That is our theological doctrine of incarnation, that this mysterious Spirit came and dwelt in human form into His second coming. And so that is God in the Old Testament, and from the incarnation to the second coming as Lord of Lords and King of Kings. Revelation 17 tells us quickly, "These will make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb will overcome them, for He is the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings, and those who are with Him are called and chosen faithful." Number four, Jesus is God-man. Christ Jesus in glory, exalted above all creatures and having all authority. And Matthew 28:18 tells us, Jesus spoke to them saying, "All authority has been given unto me in heaven and earth." Part two, number one, during Jesus' earthly ministry, He claimed to be God incarnate. Number two, Jesus is all that He claimed to be, or either He is less than the least. And in Revelations 1 through 8, it talks about Alpha and Omega. And you can read through that and ponder. Number three, before Jesus' claims can be denied, there are some things that must be accounted for. And those four bullets are, first of all, Jesus' virgin birth. We must give an account of that. Jesus' virgin birth. Also, Jesus' holy and sinless life. That's why He was the perfect Savior. Number 3 of the bullet is Jesus' many miracles, documented miracles, even outside of religious realms. No one can deny that Jesus went about healing and working miracles. 5 loaves and 2 fish. Here's a big word, vicarious death. Jesus' vicarious death and his bodily resurrection. So when we move through those 6 truths, number 1 is the deity of Jesus Christ. And there's scripture references there. John 1 says that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was God. Number 2 is the humanity of Jesus. That's why he was able to identify with us in every shape, fashion, and form. He knows our pains, our chains, our constraints. He knows our hardships because he lived in and through them and was punished and despised even worse than any of us ever have. He knows being shunned. He understood the humanity. Number 3 is the virgin birth, and we won't read all of that, but that's Luke 1 through 26 through 35. Number 4 in one of the truths is the death of Jesus. Philippians says that, and the beginning was found, the appearance of man, that he humbled himself, became obedient to the point of death, even death upon the cross. And then number 5 is the resurrection of Jesus. Such a magnificent Savior. He is risen from the dead. Not only did he raise from the dead victorious, but he claimed the keys of hell and death and put Satan in submission and under his feet. And number 6 is the ascension of Jesus Christ. The ascension of Jesus. The big word for he is up there now sitting at the right hand of God the Father Almighty interceding for you and for me. Pray with me one more time. Come Holy Spirit, fill the lives of your people. Lord, I know that I am just a feeble dwelling. You even said of us that we are earthen vessels, but there is greatness on us. Sometimes we are leaky vessels, and God, we are in need of a filling. So Lord, fill our cups to overflowing. And God, you promised that you would liberally give to those who asked and received and have not doubt in our heart. God, may the words of my lips and the meditations of our heart be pleasing unto you, for you are truly the rock and the Redeemer. Amen. And amen. Here again, I will never be able to explain or give justice to Jesus because he is so magnificent. He's almighty. He's powerful. There is none like him in all of the earth. He is a generous Savior. And so when we have discussed somewhat today in your notes, you can go through and see that there is this human connection with this supreme being. And God turned what used to be insignificance into significance by coming and dwelling with us and proving his love by simply identifying with us and speaking with us and helping us to realize that you came, that he came to offer an intentional touch to fill our hearts with more than a void, with more than uncertainty. When we think about other different situations in the world, we never know how, if we've ever satisfied the unknown. Have we ever done enough praying? Have we ever done enough pilgrimages? Have we ever done enough of whatever? Well, God's saying that that is not in reliance. His reliance is that we trust him. And we trust in the love and the nature of Christ. You know, I just think about this in the context of really a place of a relationship. Here again, how do we explain Jesus and all of his magnificence? It's impossible. But we can declare it through a story, if you will. So the question I would ask you is, tell me about Jesus. Tell me who Jesus is to you. Because some people will say that Jesus is a good teacher. And you know, there's other good teachers in the house. Amen. There was people that made a career out of teaching. Kathy and May and Becky and any other teachers in the house? Huh? Cheryl? You know, it's Linda? You know, and that you made a life and a living out of teaching. But was that all Jesus was? He was more than a teacher, right? And Joan, lots of teachers, lots of administrators. So some people will say, well, he was a prophet, meaning that he was able to preach good messages. He was able to attract tickling ears. He was able to have a great, huge following of people that liked what he said. You know, the religious leaders didn't like what he said, right? But, you know, some people will say he was a prophet. Some say that he was stark, mad, crazy, lunatic. Amen? Some would say that he made audacious statements about himself being the Son of God. Some said, you know, that he blasphemed, saying that if you want to know who God is, you've seen him, Philip. Some people would say all kinds of things that, you know, that Jesus will come back as a mighty warrior in the army of Allah. A little variation. But to you, who is Jesus? See, this message can't be simply some theological conversation that I give today about God's transcendent nature. I mean, read the book of Colossians if you want to know of this magnificent, almighty, supernatural being named Jesus. I mean, I would read it for you today if time was permitted. But I think that you get the message that He is high above, as far as the heavens are above the earth, and from the east is to the west. I mean, all of a sudden, we think that we are so big in and of ourselves, but when we recognize the almighty, significant power of Christ, we're very tiny. But because of our tininess, it should give us a place of awareness, a place of comfort, knowing that as small as we are and as big as He is, that He thought vitally about us because He arranged to have a relationship with us. So, you know, I would love to ask you, who is Jesus for me? He is my Lord and my Savior. And I mean, we've known each other almost 3 years, right? Every Sunday, what do I talk about? I don't talk about anything other than Christ. He is so much more. I mean, I tell you what, I don't want to live if there's no Jesus. Because He is the reason that I live. And the relationship that I have with Christ that He has offered to me freely and abundantly is so special. There's nothing else that compares to a relationship with Christ. One touch of the Master and it changes everything. One touch of the Master makes the difference. That relationship. Not a religiosity, but a relationship. What's the purpose of this towel? Well, you know one of the stories. They were trying to hang Jesus on the cross early on and trap him with either who did he pay taxes to or either questions of Sabbath keeping and all these other things. And there was finally that one attempt of entrapping Jesus. And they said, you know, Jesus, you break the Sabbath and we see you teaching and healing and we don't think that that is permissible. Why are you doing this? And Jesus says, don't you own goats and cows and lambs? And they were like, yeah, we have to eat and drink and, you know, use the commodities of today. And he says, well, if one of those fell in a ditch, wouldn't you stop out of your Sabbath day and go and spare the life of that animal? And their jaws drop. And he said, so is it better not to heal somebody that's in need? He said, so let me ask you this. Is it better to do that or say to this one, pick up your mat and walk? Jaws dropped as all of a sudden the invalid, no telling how long he had laid there, begging, asking somebody to carry him, longing for somebody to give him sustenance, longing for somebody to pay attention by maybe just throwing a coin at the ground. Can you imagine the lowest of low, dirty and dingy, dust not only on the feet, but on the body and in the face? Have you ever laid down on the ground when it was dusty and breezy? Sometimes even at the beach, you'll get a little bit of sand in your eye, right? Well, this was a place in the Middle East where it was arid and dry. And I'm sure that it was, his skin was leathery and painful. And not only that, he's at the rock bottom low. That's where all the stinky smells preside, right? But Jesus says to that one, pick up your mat. Now, let's think about that for a minute. All of a sudden, he's rolling up his mat. And Jesus tells him to carry it with him. Why? Why didn't he say, just leave it on the ground and go on about your business? Why did he tell the man to carry the mat? Did he expect that the man was going to lose out on his healing and go back to begging and laying on the ground? I'll tell you why I think. Why do you think? I think that this was his testimony. Hallelujah! Praise the Lord! Hallelujah! I don't have to lay on the mat anymore. I'm carrying it. I'm picking up my mat, and I'm a testimony. And I'm a witness. Are you carrying your mat today? Your mat is your story. Your mat is that time that you came into an encounter with the Christ, the Holy, and it made the difference and it changed your life. Is your life changed? Do you love the Lord as much as He loves you? Are you willing to share? Now let me tell you something. I embarrassed Brandon yesterday. And I do not like, I despise going to the grocery store. Kathy's even said, give me a list. But it's kind of weird, you know, somebody buying your groceries. And I would let her. But, you know, she might get the 8 ounce instead of the 12. I don't know. But anyway, sometimes, ask Brian, the shelves get kind of bare. It's a little bit empty because I don't like the grocery store. It's a necessity, but I don't like it. So anyway, I kind of coerced Brandon into, hey, you want to go out to lunch tomorrow? So I took him to lunch, and then I just kept on going straight to the grocery store. We're making an event. And so we're going in and out of the grocery store, picking up some things and everything. And then when we're finally about to leave, I said, Brandon, let me show you something. And all of a sudden, you know, I start to smile, and I wave. And I look at that person like, Glenn. But there, I got a smile. And that's what happened over and over again. And I was embarrassed. And he's like, stop, Dad, stop. Stop, don't do that anymore. And I just, and I look at, hey, how are you? And you know what would happen? All those people, you know, I don't believe we're living in the South anymore. Most people don't want to make eye contact anymore. Most people, as you pass them, they'll look down like this. Or they look the other way. Or what's the new one? I'm holding my cell phone so I don't have to look at anybody. Right? And see, when we carry the mat, it's not about standing up somewhere and saying, and the Bible says that. No, it's putting a smile on your face. It's carrying your mat in the marketplace of life, as Bill would say. It's about being a towel-toting Christian. And what's that mean? I've been baptized. I've been born again. I've been made new. See, I can't preach about Jesus, but I can tell you that I can preach about Jesus. Because here's the deal, friends. Here's the deal. God wants us to have a relationship that is worthy with sharing your story. And that might be in passing with a smile. It worked, didn't it, Brandon? I mean, everybody responded. I mean, this one guy was like kind of panicking. Am I going to find a parking spot? And I just smiled at him big like that and said, hey. And all of a sudden, he had to circle around a second time to get another one. It probably hadn't happened to him in a long time, and Brandon said, he has to get two. He's King of Kings and Lord of Lords, but most importantly, he's your friend. He said to that one, pick up your mat and be healed. I want to encourage you today, when you leave this place, when you come to this table, that you pick up your mat and you carry it with you. You don't leave your Bible somewhere underneath, but you carry Christ wherever you go with a smile, with an intentional touch, with those random acts of kindness, with those things that set you apart and make you different than the rest of the world. That's how you let your light shine. Enough of the world is looking down. Enough of the world is trying to look at the cell phone instead of you. Look them in the eyes, because that truly is the peace that passes all understanding. That is the true passing of the peace. The Christ in me greets the Christ in thee. Carry your mat. Amen. Amen. Turn with me to page 12. And communion stewards, I know you're making your way or getting ready to come forth.